You are now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
That is Olympic ass right there.
Get ready for the social hour.
Live from Deez World Studios in San Antonio, Texas, this is The Social Hour. On today's show, owner of Cutthroat Comics, Josh Nealis. And now your host, getting ready to start his career in women's Olympic boxing, Deez Casillas.
Malib Keen, everyone, welcome to the show. This is the Social Hour. I am Deez. Welcome back. Thank you for hanging out, guys. We have a fun episode today. We have Josh Nealis from Cutthroat Comics. He's been on the show before. He's going to come join us again soon, talk about his latest Kickstarter campaign, what he's got going on, some new comics, all kinds of stuff, what he's got coming up. He's got some cool stuff coming up and some crazy life stuff he went through too, which I'm glad I got to sit down and talk to him finally. I've been kind of watching the story online, so, you know, getting a chance to actually talk to him and see him and hear from him was crazy to hear. So anyway, we'll get to that in a second. As usual, guys, go to deezcomedy.com. Check out everything going on across the network. Live dates coming up. I'll be around the Northwest in August and in September doing the Latino Comedy Festival in Seattle in September. I'm looking forward to that. We did, unfortunately, guys, for anyone who got tickets to some of the dates in the after the 19th of August in the Northwest, that last is between the 19th and 26th, those dates have been postponed. Unfortunately, I have some projects I'm working on here in Texas, and I had to rearrange. I got to get back to Texas, so those dates, we'll reschedule them. I'll get back to those venues. I apologize. I know some people were already had their tickets, were ready to come out and see some of the events. So my apologies, my bad, guys. I don't know. Send me an email. I'll send you a copy of this special for free. You can watch it, and then you don't have to buy a ticket to see my ugly mug in person. But I do appreciate you guys' following and you know, getting tickets early. But again, those will be rescheduled. I will be back in the Northwest in Seattle. I am doing some shows around the area for the Latino Comedy Festival, so that's going to be fun. I've got a couple other gigs scheduled too, so just check the calendar. You'll be able to catch me in the area. But, you know, travel over there is a nightmare. Just getting from Seattle to Tacoma isn't always as easy as it sounds. It's like 19 miles and takes, it's like you're on the Oregon Trail. Like, you really have to prepare. It's a nightmare. So I get it. You know, it doesn't seem that far city to city over there, but it can suck sometimes. So anyway, you'll see me. Part of the reason I had to rearrange some dates is because for avid listeners and people who've been following me, I am launching a comic book series. It's coming out soon. The Kickstarter will be launching in a couple weeks. But real important, guys, we're going to have a landing page for the Kickstarter, which I'm going to be obnoxiously sharing on social media. So please, just follow the Kickstarter page. You don't have to donate it. It's going to give you an alert when it goes live, but the more followers we have on that Kickstarter page when it comes up, the more we get in the algorithm, people see it, the more we can get people to donate and get this project going. So you're going to hear me on a ton of podcasts. I've got, I think, like 30 podcasts I'm guesting on scheduled over the next 6 weeks. So if you thought you were sick of hearing me talk, imagine how I'm going to feel. But we're going to promote this bad boy, and it's going to be great. And I look forward to you guys reading it and hearing what you have to say. It's been good. Like, I've had a couple comic book publishers read this, and, you know, some friends of mine who own companies, just people I know who own companies, and the overwhelming response has been very positive. People really like it. We've had some people interested in picking it up and putting it in their lineup. I don't know if that's going to happen. I'm kind of feeling out the independent thing. I don't know. It's so tough these days to make sure that everything just goes the way you want it to. And when you can just kind of be the one in control and manage it, it's a little easier to just handle it all. And who knows? Who knows what the future holds? But that's kind of where I'm at right now. I think we're going to do this thing independently. So I'll really... God, guys, any support you can give would be greatly appreciated. So that's it for the announcements, guys. We're going to get into it with our show. Before we get into it with our guests, we've got a couple things to talk about. Let's do some jokes. We wrote some jokes this week. We wrote a couple. Here's one of them. I didn't write many this week. I've been trying to finalize some other stuff, but here's one I wrote. I haven't totally researched this Olympic boxing thing, but my initial reaction is that it's disgusting and embarrassing that this many of you follow the Olympics. This was a topic for sure this week, hot topic. This whole Olympic boxer thing, this lady from, and yes, I did call her a lady. Much to other people's chagrin. I called her a lady because I barely understand science. My Mexican with a GED, what do you want from me? It's just like this, Turkish, Turkmenistan, Istanbul, that might be a city in, I don't know. She's this, European Russian type lady, and she looks like a mean character. She may not be a man, but she for sure at least has an enlarged clitoris. Like fully engorged, her clitoris might be bigger than my cock is. That's all I'm saying. But still a woman or whatever. The thing is, here's what I was looking at these two girls, and I'm going, I get that, this lady's complicated physiological, biological makeup it's not easy. It's there's something that's not normal, not standard, I guess. But just the size difference, holy crap! Like that guy, she looked like she like Draco from Rocky IV, like his sister. Like she was ready to just break America, just beat the shit out of Carl Weathers. And this poor little demure Italian lady's like 140 pounds, like a foot shorter, just getting the shit kicked out of her. She dropped in two punches. But I mean, it's a complicated topic. I don't know. I saw everyone was the hoopla on the social media and everyone gets all up in arms. And I can't. I saw a couple headlines and I'm like, oh, you see a headline and you're like, this lady was a trans, And then you read a little bit and you're like, well, that's not true. So that's obviously out the window. But then people run with that fucking cockamamie story. But then you start reading into it and you're like, there is something happening here, something that we don't all fully understand. And I think people are taking it and using it to their narrative, which is just the craziest thing that's happening just habitually in America these days. It's insane the way people just take what they want to get out of a conversation and completely twist it. Because, friends, like the same people who are yelling at you to do your research about the Olympic boxer thing, saying like, oh, she's not a woman, she is a woman, do your research. Those are the same people that were yelling, like still, that are still calling ivermectin horse paste. It's like, man, do you do your research or do you not do your research? It's like, pick a lane, You can't decide you're a fucking Rhodes Scholar when it comes to only the things that fit your narrative. But when the things that are slightly out of, that Overton window, come along. You are like a fucking moron when it comes to even the Dewey Decimal System. There's no way you could possibly research that. You just take whatever information you surmise the first at first blush and never, ever take another crack at anything. You know, I mean, it's really insane because, again, this is the type of thing that I have such a complicated relationship with, because, you know, anytime I have any type of conversation, period, because everything's so politicized now, and it's cliche, but it's true. And, you know, you start having a conversation about something, and whether it's left-leaning or right-leaning, it's always an off-kilter conversation for me, because it's an asymmetrical conversation, because I do not subscribe to the liberal point of view, and I do not subscribe to the conservative point of view. So people are very confused. If you do anything that bucks against them at all, they just immediately call you, a conservative. If you're saying something against the liberal agenda, you're a Trumper and you're an idiot and you're fucking la la. And it's like, no, maybe I just don't agree with that part of what you're saying. Or same thing with conservatives, they do it too. And I just wish we could stop and have a conversation that really was nuanced and understand. Like, that's what I'm trying to say when I made, like, in the statement of, like, the same people yelling at you to do your research about the Olympic boxer, the same people still calling ivermectin horse paste. Do your research on everything. Do your due diligence. Like, if you did, you'd understand that ivermectin has saved hundreds of thousands of lives. It was made for humans. Originally, the person who made it, Gates, got a Nobel Prize in 2015 for creating it. It's like, but those things are glossed over very quickly. And you're like, man, just, we could all get along so much better if you would just take a moment to think a little critical thinking, and be willing to look outside your tiny little box. But no, in politics and everything, it's just, you know, I mean, look at all these people with, like, who suddenly decided Kamala Harris is the best thing ever. You know, no one wanted anything to do with her before that. It was like, people who were a week ago were saying that Biden was absolutely the way they should go, and he was the only option, and there's nothing else that they should even consider, are suddenly saying Kamala was the best thing, and they always should have had her, and always should have run her, and she's black, and she's a woman, which is crazy, because there's hundreds of thousands of black women in America that are not qualified to be president. I'm not qualified to be a president. I'm not saying that a black or person or a woman is not qualified to be president, but just because they're those things don't qualify them. Like, every person I've talked to, I said, name one policy of Kamala Harris's that is good. Name one thing she's done politically that she's been in charge of that went well. Name one thing she stands for that you what's a policy of hers that you like? What has she done in her political career? Well, she was in charge of the border. That's been a disaster. She was so hated that during the 2020 election, she didn't even make it to the first primary. She didn't even make it to Iowa. She was pulling less than 1%. Yet somehow she's the best option we have now. It's just a farce. And I wish people could admit it. And again, this is not me saying Trump is the answer. I don't think Trump is the answer either. I think that, yeah, it's also a horrible option. But we need to get past this discourse of, like, lesser of two evils. We just have to select one. No, you don't. You're forced, you think you're forced to, and you stay in that circle, in that cycle, and you perpetuate it, and you are now complicit in that. Demand better of your politicians. Demand better of your party. Vote better. Don't turn out for those people, you know? Vote for someone else. Write in a candidate you want. We have to show them that we won't just let them control the game. Create the rules, bend the rules, break the rules, and then penalize us always. We're always the scapegoat. We're always the people that get penalized in all this. Oh, my God. All right, that was a rant, guys. Sorry, I just needed to get that off my chest. It's been this whole system is collapsing quickly. And but the good news is, guys, I think next week we're going to have former producer and one of my best buddies, Traz Swartout, back on the show. And we are going to dive deep into everything that's been going on in America, from politics to conspiracies to why the Jews are controlling the weather, and if they are, why is it so damn hot in Texas? And much, much more. But guys, we'll get with that next week. For now, let's please welcome our guest, a comic book creator, writer, author, and owner of Cutthroat Comics, Josh Nealis. All right, so hey, Josh, how you doing, man? Good to be, good to have you here. Thanks for coming back and join us for the show.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate it. Always, always like talking to people who make me laugh and stuff. So
I try. I'm doing the Lord's work out there. It's all we have left is trying to laugh, considering the crazy times we live in.
Well, yeah, there's not enough people on Facebook that write jokes. like I think there's you and me, that's the only people I know. If I know you probably have a lot more comedian friends than I do, but I try to write jokes from time to time, and sometimes I put them out there and I'm like, oh, this is a banger, and it gets like 3 likes.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I'll write one, I'm like, this one isn't that funny, but it's kind of funny, and it'll get like 30. It's like, I don't know.
You never know what's gonna, it's whatever the algorithm is feeling that day too. Because you know, I feel like certain words, certain things you say in your post, you know, if it's like hot button, hot topic stuff, a lot of times it gets suppressed in the algorithm, or if it's, you know, Facebook decides they don't want that stuff to be talked about. You know, it's an interesting world, the way they, you know, our freedom of speech is censored on a daily basis, and we've just accepted it, you know. It really is strange. I pretty much only post jokes or promoting things on Facebook. That's pretty much it.
Right. Yeah. It's the thing I'm noticing with certain people is, you know, I get that, you know, Facebook and TikTok and all that, you know, they're a business, they're trying to make money. But to me, it really bothers me that, for instance, I have a business account, the Cutthroat Comics account.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I'll post, you know, a handful of times a week or whatever it is. I try not to post too much. But then Facebook will give me a notification and it's like, 38 people saw your post this week. And it's like, I have like thousands of people following the page and you're only showing it to 38. I feel like you should show it to the people that opt in. And, you know, if I want to pay for an ad, then so be it.
Yeah.
I think they would have more success with their platform if they opened it up. You know,
yeah, I mean, what do they say? 1% of people, your followers, see your post,
right?
Which is crazy, you know? Because like, yeah, before the algorithm, it was just you post it, and whatever people you followed posted, it would just be in that order on your feed,
right?
You know? And now they think they know what you want to see based on what you click on or how long you hover over something, and it's like, no, I just want to see what's being put out there. I mean, now it's come out, they're even filtering the comment section for you. So
yeah, because you see like 15 comments, you click on it, and it's like one. It's like, well, just show me the comments. So that's why I clicked comments.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, it's really an interesting. I mean, it's really a crazy dynamic, and the craziest thing to me is that, again, people have just freely accepted it as just the way it is. And have no complaints about it, or no thoughts about how their voice is not being heard to the people they want to project it to, how these tech companies are deciding what is or isn't being said. You know, I mean, literally, it's really crazy how much they can control a narrative, because they said, you know, they said more people get their information, like their news, off of TikTok now than they do like news media outlets.
That's for sure where I get the vast majority of mine.
Yeah, so and think about that. I mean, that same thing probably, you know, obviously the percentages denigrate as you go to different platforms, but Facebook, Instagram, etc., people are getting news off that. And when those platforms get to decide what is news or what they could, what they're going to put in your algorithm, it's like, man, they can really control what people feel and think about something, you know?
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, well, yeah. And the TikTok thing is funny because, you know, I'm fairly liberal. I live in Ohio, which there's a lot of, you know, conservatives around here. And when I talk to my friends, like a buddy of mine, we went and saw Limp Bizkit a couple weeks ago, and we're riding up there and we started talking about politics a little bit, and you know, just the things that he knew were like so different from the things that I knew.
Yeah,
sort of. I knew a lot more about the certain topics, but I, you know, I'm a little bit better at you know, when I see somebody saying something, I'm like, okay, why are they saying it? Is it true? You know, and I'm good at not believing something until I go look it up for myself and all that. You know, not everybody does that. A lot of people just, oh, this must be true because somebody said it on the internet.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I read part of a headline, so it's got to be, yeah. It's got to be reality.
Yeah, but him and I, as we were talking, he mentioned some things that I'd never heard of. And as we were driving up to Detroit, it was like a 2-hour drive. You know, I Googled it right sitting there, and I said, you know, because one of them was like I guess California has like a tax on people moving out of the state.
Right.
And I was like, okay, I never heard of that. I looked it up, and it was only for like people making, don't quote me on the number, 50 million and above or something like
that. Yeah.
So, you know, he thought it was on everybody being a blue state. And I was like, that doesn't sound right. So, you know, that's the thing. You clear things up and you look it up in real time off the internet. And then you can both be like, oh, okay, well, you brought up something I had never heard of, but you were misinformed on it, but now we're both equal.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is, yeah, that is an interesting thing. Cause I read about that too. And then I'm like, that seems weird. And then I pulled it and then I looked it up, but then, you know, people are like, yeah, it's only people making over 50 million. I'm like, yeah, that's good. You know, for people who don't, you know, for those people who are, you know, not making a lot of money, but also it's like, you know, if you move out of a state, I'm not sure they should be able to continue bilking you for tax money. You shouldn't be on the hook to continue to prop up the state for X amount of years, you know. I think it's like 3 or 4 years, some crazy thing they want to pull tax money from you. And it's like, California, just because I lived in you, I don't owe you alimony, you know.
Right.
You know, if like it's especially since California's done about jack shit for their taxpayers for a long time. So... It's a whole
topic for sure.
It's a strange, I don't know, but, yeah, I mean that you can really, yeah, they can really decide what information everyone gets and how, and, what they say, like 19 out of the top 20, Christian sites on Facebook groups were fake bot farm groups and stuff like that. You know, all these, a lot of the pro liberal or pro conservative sites on Facebook, just like tons of them are just Russian bot farms, you know, they're just like designed to just fuck with our democracy, you know, and fuck with people.
I mean, the main problem is people talk about shit on social media. You need to talk to somebody face to face, because I can tell you right now, you know, the times where I have spoken to somebody, even like what we're doing, I can hear your tone, you know what I mean? Like, you're not coming off, you know, I'm not sitting here going, oh, this guy's being condescending. Like, no, he's not. He's just talking. So, yeah, anytime I've talked to somebody in real life, even certain members of my family are very conservative, and we talk, and then we end up, like, meeting in the middle somewhere. And I think that's the thing people forget, you know, and I'm guilty of it, too. You know, I've had debates and stuff with people online, and I forget that, you know, if we were face to face, there's that certain amount of respect that you give somebody because you don't want to get punched.
Yeah.
So, you know, generally most people are going to agree on most things. You're going to have people on the far right and far left, but you know, I saw like a graphic the other day. They were showing like most people are way out here, and then it was like a little sliver in the middle, and I'm like, no, most people are in the middle.
Yeah, I think there's just a very loud minority on each side, and that's what they focus on. Yeah, that's part of the problem that I have when I have conversations with people whether online or in real life, is that, you know, if I start heading one direction, they're just like, oh, what do you like a Trumper, or you're just a liberal? And the it's always, you know, depending on who I'm talking to, right? And we're having a conversation. And I'm like, no. The thing is, this is an asymmetrical conversation because I think both those sides are criminals. So like, this is not a binary where I'm like one, I like one, I don't like the other. I'm like, I hate both of them equally. I'm like, you're not. So it's always a funny conversation because they just assume if I'm like leaning one way on one topic that I just toe that line, no matter what. I'm like, no. There's probably things I very much agree with you on, and also things I think you do or that are probably very stupid. So it turns out I'm not going to vote for either of them in November. So it's always interesting because it's just come down to like, you can only be one or the other, though.
Yeah, if you're not one thing, you certainly must be the other, and it's. Yeah, it's not like that. And that's why anytime I do, I try not to post politics too much, but anytime I do, I usually try to make sure to say, like, I'm not a Democrat, I'm an independent, but here's what I think of this topic.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It is interesting. And the real problem is, I think the assumptions, there's a lot of assumptions made when people, it happens a lot where they're just like, oh, I don't like this thing you said, so I'm going to assume the rest of your narrative and jump on you for this. And it's like,
And unfortunately, sometimes you're dead on with it, because the more you talk to somebody, you're like, oh, I was right about this guy.
Yeah. So social media, it's a necessary evil that we live in, that we've giving ourselves over. I've been trying so hard. I'm on the verge of really, really trying to find someone to just run my social media so I never have to do it again. Like,
that
just
would be nice.
Hand over the passwords and the whole accounts and just be like, post a couple times a day. These are the things I want you to post. But like, I don't ever want to go on there. I don't want to see comments. I don't want to reply to comments. I don't want to, I'll send you the joke, post this. I'm not getting on there, you know?
Yeah. If I wasn't, you know, trying to push my books and all that stuff, and if I wasn't single, I would have no interest in social media. I think after my band broke up years and years ago, I think I only had Facebook at the time. I think I deleted it for, I don't know, 8 months or something like that. And it was nice.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I've had friends who've gone back to going just, they have dumb phones, you know, just regular old cell phones. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, I can't, you know, use Google Maps to know where I'm going, but I got my brain back, you know, like I feel like a person again. Really, I just want to have that back.
it's a nice feeling. That's why, most nights I'm, you know, I set my phone down, and I think it's like 9 o'clock when it's bedtime. I set my phone down. If it dings, it dings.
Yeah. So. Oh, you still keep your phone volume on, huh?
Well, yeah, I'm a light sleeper, and, you know, I've got a kid and stuff, so, you know, just in case something happens. Honestly, like my brain, like I said, I'm a light sleeper, but my brain knows to ignore those noises.
Okay.
So I also sleep with the TV on, so like Big Bang Theory plays all night. So like I can ignore that, and I can ignore my phone noises.
Yeah. I have not had the volume on my phone. It's been on silent for probably 15 years. I just do not turn it on. I'll just check it every now and then. I'm like, if you call me, I'm probably going to miss your call. So, but I will call you back as soon as I see it. But I always miss calls. And it's just like, leave a message. If it's important, I'll call you back. If not, if I don't call you back, then, you know, maybe I just don't think it's important. So,
well, I got my day job too. So, and that's like medical industry stuff. So I have to.
Yeah, that's a little. It's a little more important. Yeah, I usually check my phone for emails more than anything. So.
Oh, that's what drives me nuts is when I check it for an email and it's just some spam bullshit, and that's like 10 times a day, and it's like, oh my God.
Oh yeah.
And it's always, I'll sit my phone down. I'm like, cool. I've looked at whatever I need to look at for a while. I'm going to set it down. And it's literally, as soon as my hand goes away, it's ding. It's like the phone knows. Like, spam email. You better get your phone back in your hand. And then you're on Facebook and TikTok for 20 more minutes. It's like, God damn it.
You know what I did long ago is I set up a spam email account. So anytime I sign up for something or like use some service online where you need an email address to create an account, I use my spam email account. And so those are the places that like sell your email address and you end up with shit everywhere. So like I don't ever use my main email account for any of that stuff. I just have some dummy account that I never check for anything. So it just, I just use that for all those password. You just need a password email. It's great.
Yep, I've got a burner too. Like anytime somebody's like, vote for this photography of my child or something like that, it's like, yep, I'll pop, put this email address in there and never hear from them again.
Yeah, done and done. So
hope you win.
Well, tell us about what you've been working on, man. You've got a new Kickstarter coming out.
Yeah, it's live right now. So I'm not, when does this podcast go up?
What's today? This will come out this week, Wednesday.
Okay. So yeah, it's live right now. It started, August 1st.
Okay.
It's Turkey Sharks, 1 through 5, which is my superhero team. So I had, 3 separate series that ran 3 issues and then we're on Turkey Sharks 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And this is the final issue of this series. So you don't need those other series to know what's going on. You can start with just Turkey Sharks 1. But it's, you know, it's a lot of fun. It's each character has kind of their thing. Like one guy's like satirical, he talks in movie quotes. One guy's like kind of your darker Batman. Another guy's kind of a straightforward superhero, but he deals with like depression and anxiety and stuff like that. Then there's a bunch of silly characters like Blasphemer, the gay Amish superhero. Kid Friendly is like my little intelligent child Robin style hero who dresses like the Cracker Jack kid. I got aliens. I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's everything you want in just like a ridiculous comic book, but it's got, got fighting and action and silliness and seriousness. There's some romance. I mean, it's got everything you want.
And, so is this going to be the end of this, this series, this particular title?
Yeah, for now at least. You know, I may, you know, I've got a couple other comic series I want to put out, so I'm setting this one aside because it's a good place to end it. And actually, the ending is fantastic. Like me and the artist, when he sent me the final page and stuff, we both were like, "This is." I compare it to the movie Inside Out, where you're happy and sad at the same time.
Okay.
So yeah, he and I both were like, "This is a really good ending." Like for this, it's, and we're both happy that it's, you know, the end, and it's a happy, well, I'm not going to say what type of ending it is, but it's a decent ending.
It's a fitting ending for the,
let's grab that. But we're happy with the ending, I'll say that.
Right on.
But I have a couple spinoffs of some of the characters I am going to do for sure. Buddy the Super Squirrel, who's in the books, will get a one shot, and then the Rascals, who are like my Teen Titans team. They're led by Kid Friendly. There's my son invented a character named Tornado Kid. Is one of the characters. And then there's like Drop Bear, who's an Australian aboriginal character. Loose Cannon, who's like a homeless girl who's just like Wolverine, except, you know, she has like a hot temper. So it's, there's a lot going on in these books.
Yeah. So you want to do spinoffs of this, or are you looking for all new stuff you're doing?
Both. So yeah, those spinoffs will happen after I finish the next comic book series, which is a prequel to my novel, probably one of my best sellers. It's called Cocaine Stripper Stronghold. It sells so well that I was like, man, I got to do something with this. So we've already started on it, actually. We got 6 pages done. In the novel, a horde of zombie businessmen and a biker gang attack a brothel because they like cocaine and strippers.
All right. I can get down with that. I get it.
Yeah, it's super raunchy comedy. The comic book is toned down a little bit. I think it's one of the better things I've written, but it's a prequel. You get to learn how the main character became the main character and stuff. It's 4 issues. It's going to be super cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, how, the more I see, the more it looks like you're able to be kind of cranking stuff out a little faster now? Do you feel like it's coming along? It's easier as you've been going?
Yeah, definitely. I would say, you know, I've never done stand-up, but I listen to a lot of people talk about stand-up, and I watch a lot of stand-up. And from what I've heard, it's a muscle like anything else. Like your reflexes, your ad-libbing and all that, crowd work and all that, you just become quicker at it. And that's the same thing with writing for me. I can sit down and write right now. Like I could close all the programs and write 1,000 words in probably 20 minutes if I wanted to.
Yeah.
You know, on about anything. So like I said, it's a muscle you flex.
Yeah, yeah. So what about, I mean, even the production though, you know, is it the, you know, you've got a Kickstarter going now. Are you finding that you're getting a lot of repeat customers and able to turn the Kickstarters over pretty fast and pretty easily?
So this one's stalling a little bit. And I got a little annoyed by it. But after talking to several other creators, everybody seems to be having the same problem. And we talked about algorithms and stuff. And everybody seems to think that things are, I don't know if it's Kickstarter or all the social media is really ramping down on not letting people see these, you know, we're posting about it like you should. We've always funded in 48 hours or less. I think one of them was funded in like 20 minutes.
Wow.
Rook One's not funded yet, and we're on day 5 of it, but we're getting there. It's, you know, I sent out messages and emails and all that stuff. So all the people that always back it probably will. I'm sure they'll come along. Yeah. They just haven't seen it yet. So.
Yeah, well, it's true. You know, we talked about the algorithm, but not only just, you know, like Facebook is so bad about if you make a post that has a link to any other website that isn't Facebook, they automatically suppress that. Because they don't want people, they want retention. They don't want to promote people going to a different website. They want to promote people staying on Facebook. Yeah. So what a lot of people, you know, it doesn't work as well if people see it. But what I've started doing is making a post about something, and then I'll say that, like, the link is in the comments.
And I try to stay away from saying link in comments too, because I'm assuming they have flagged that.
Check below for info or something, you know, or I don't know.
Yeah, I think today through the Cutthroat Comics Facebook page, I put like, hey, this is out. Go to the place where people argue for details.
people will get that. Because, you know, and it really is too bad because, you know, it's like, where else? It's like, you know, doing comedy, I have this conversation with people across the country when they're asking, when, you know, other people producing shows are like, oh, how do you promote your shows? How do you get people to your shows? And I'm like, really, unfortunately, the only way to promote anything anymore is on social media. Like, there's not... You know, nobody's reading the paper. There's no independent newspaper that you can put an ad in. There's no, you know, it's like somebody's, there's still this club I used to work for. I stopped working for them this year finally, but they would do radio. And they'd want you to get up. You do a show Thursday, Friday, and you wake up Saturday morning. They want you to go in and do radio at like 6 a.m. And it's such a bitch. Like, first of all, it's like, I just was up until 2 a.m. and I got to get up at 6, and then you want me to do a show again tonight. But like, also, I remember telling them the last time I was there, I'm like, guys, it's 2023. Like, I haven't listened to the radio for 13 years. You know, like, who's listening to terrestrial radio? Old people. And old people aren't coming to my comedy show. So, like, this is a waste of time and money, you know?
Yep. Yeah, I think there's probably only a handful of radio stations that are actually legitimately, because there's that one in LA, that big one, I forget what it's called.
Kiss.
The one Carson Daly used to work for or whatever.
Yeah, Kiss 102.7, Kiss FM is the big one.
Yeah.
That was, like, Ryan Seacrest was on that and stuff.
Yeah, but yeah, the stations around here, There's a college down the road, and they have a station that I think people listen to because they play like indie rock bands from around the area and stuff, which is cool. But yeah, the radio stations here, they used to be like rock and stuff, and now they're all country, and it's like,
And even if someone has the radio on, I feel like it's being listened to very passively. it's no. not, you're not really actively listening to it. It's just background noise, especially right. when the commercials come on. Nobody is like, oh man, what's the, you know, the fucking Truckorama is coming to the Thunderdome this set. Nobody gives a shit. Nobody's listening. Right. Nobody cares. You know, if you're going to find events, you're going to find them on social media, and it's really yep. the only place to do it. And it's, or if you're promoting, yeah, book series, or anything.
And what's funny, I don't know if everybody else does this, but I certainly do it, and I do it on purpose. When I'm watching, like last night, Rise of the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, or whatever the hell it's
yeah,
called.
There's too many of those now. Yeah. Rise of the Kingdom of the Planet yeah. of the...
That's on, I think it's Hulu or whatever, and I'm not paying extra for no ads for that one. So, and the ads are like a minute and a half. So every time the ad came on, I grabbed my phone and I checked TikTok and Facebook. And then yeah. when it comes back on, it's like, I'm intentionally, purposefully not looking at your ads.
Right,
so.
Right. Yeah. And it's also, I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't know the last time I've ever seen an ad for something and it encouraged me to get that. Like, I'm a creature mm-hmm. of habit. I know the things I do want, and like, the things I'm interested in, I already know about. I know where I'm going to get them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Like, no one's ever been like, oh, Dawn dish soap. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I should get some Dawn dish soap. What yeah. am I, you know, what am I doing using palm olive like an idiot? Like,
yeah, it's brand recognition most of the time. Every now and then an ad will get me, like for a Snickers or something like that. I'm like, oh, I haven't had a Snickers in a while. But thanks for reminding me.
Yeah.
I think Wendy's got me with pumpkin spice frosty or something.
Oh, interesting.
It was gross. Don't get it. It was nasty.
Yeah, that's all right. I used to, years ago when I was like 16 years old, I worked at a Wendy's. It was my first tax-paying job. And I worked the late night shift. And what we used to do is we used to close down the frosty machine to the public, and we would just pour vodka into the frosty mix, and then nice. We would just drink these alcoholic, like eat these alcoholic frosties all night, just be hammered by the time we left shift. It was great.
That's awesome. I'm sure you guys weren't the only ones to do that.
Yeah. Which is funny. This is total tangent, but I saw this reel today about, you know how like the McDonald's ice cream machines are always broken down?
Yep.
Like, yeah, they're always like it's comical how often there's like memes about it.
Yep.
So this guy, they found out, this guy did some digging and found out that it's one machine created by this company named Taylor that if you franchise McDonald's, you have to get one of these. You're contractually obligated to get this machine in your as your ice cream machine. You can't have a different one, and you have to have one. So, but they just break down constantly. It's something like almost $2 million worth of revenue for this company in repairs in a year, fixing these ice cream machines. So it's basically this racket where this company has like McDonald's stronghold, like the franchisees strongholded into getting these and then forcing them to pay to fix them. And somebody even created a machine to bypass their process to fix it, where you could just plug it in and fix it through an app. And this company Taylor did like corporate espionage to steal one and like basically get this company kind of like sue them and try and make it so they couldn't use this anymore. It's just so funny. You're like, oh my God, this, even McDonald's is like in bed with these people yep. who just are like, no, we're going to bilk these people who own a McDonald's out of millions of dollars every year. It's yeah. crazy.
Yeah. That was one of my favorite jokes I ever wrote that did really well on Facebook talking about that. I don't remember exactly how I worded it, but remember they had slushies or something. I don't know if they still do, but McDonald's had slushies for a hot minute or something.
That. Yeah.
Or maybe smoothies or something like that.
Okay.
But it was like the day they came out, and I was like, oh, McDonald's has slushies now and the machine's broken.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, come on, man. Why don't you work on perfecting the food you do before you branch out?
Yeah. You know, there have been times that I have not gone to McDonald's because I wanted a milkshake and I assumed that the machine was broken. So I went somewhere else instead.
Yeah. Probably just a safe bet. There was this one, Pullman, Washington, when I lived in Washington still, which is like, it's a college town, just the University of Washington's down there, or Washington State University, WSU, the Go Cougars. And we would go down there for shows. It was like an hour and a half drive. And after the show, we'd always go stop by this McDonald's and grab some food and grab like a McFlurry, right? That was like their little blizzard thing they had.
Yep.
And I asked the girl, I'm like, oh, I think I want to, you guys have McFlurries? Is that? And she goes, yeah, we can do a McFlurry. And she goes, I go, do you have any, I go, what did I say? I go, like, do you have any other flavors other than M&M's? And she goes, what flavor do you want? And I'm like, Reese's, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. She's like, no, 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 we don't have those. I'm like, do you have any other flavors? She's like, no, we only have M&M. And I'm like, well, why did you let me ask about these other? And you're like, if, why are we even having this conversation at this point?
Yeah, actually, Dairy Queen, speaking of ads and stuff, Dairy Queen almost got me yesterday, almost, because I saw an ad for like a Reese's Blizzard or whatever at my mom's, and my kid and I were on the way back from my mom's, and there's a Dairy Queen. We passed right by, and I almost, I mean, I was inches away from pulling in there because I saw the ad, and I was like, nope, they're not getting me today.
Yeah, so. Yeah, yeah. I try and stay away from fast food and sweets mostly anyway anymore, but like...
I'm still trying to put weight back on, so right now I'm like open season on whatever the hell I'm working.
Yeah, yeah, we're like, I live two blocks from a Dairy Queen, so it's tough because I am a sucker for a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Blizzard. That's my jam.
Yeah, I like the Oreo ones, you know, and honestly Dairy Queen's food is pretty solid when you compare it to some of the other ones.
It's, yeah,
I don't know, yeah, their chicken tenders are good, and they give you that piece of toast with it, and I think their burgers are pretty solid.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, yeah, there's one right by here. It's always, every time I drive by, I'm like, oh, and I go, no, no, keep on driving. Keep on driving.
That's what the Brazer, you ever seen it say Brazer on it?
Oh, yeah. Isn't that a porn company?
Well, yeah. Brazzers, yeah. But when it says Brazziers, that means it's a grill as well as ice cream. If it doesn't have the Brazer, that means it's just ice cream.
Oh, interesting. Good to know.
I Google a lot of things.
the Texas Dairy Queens, I also found this out when we moved here. They're in their own corporation. So, like, they're independent of the rest of Dairy Queen. They're like some, I don't know how, but they're, they don't, none of them will do the flip on the Blizzard. They all have these signs on the window, like, we do not participate in the Blizzard flip promotion from Dairy Queen.
That's stupid anyway. That always drives me nuts. It's like, would you quit? Just give me the damn thing.
Yeah, they're like playing with you. But
I don't care.
Yeah, there's like, because there's like a Dairy Queen app, and then there's like a Dairy Queen Texas app. It's separate. Oh. It's so weird. Like, it's like Dairy Queen seceded from the rest of Dairy Queen. They're like, in Texas.
You guys have your own electrical grid, so you got to have your own Dairy Queen.
Yeah, well, it's the whole thing. It's just got to be independent. Yeah, man, you mentioned, we might as well talk about it a little bit. You said you're trying to put some weight back on. I know you've been going through some stuff. Why don't you tell us about what's happened the last couple, 8 months, something like that?
Something like that, yeah. I got hit with cancer back on Halloween. Not fun, 0 stars, I don't recommend it.
Yeah.
As of right now, I'm cancer-free. Still got a few more tests to do and all that, but I should be good. It was in my kind of head and neck area. So I had to do radiation every day for 7 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it lit me up. Basically, think of the worst sunburn you ever had, and I had that in my throat. Hacking up crap every day, couldn't sleep. I was off work. I mean, it was really bad. I lost 40 pounds.
Damn.
So, and I'm not that big of, I was 160 pounds when it started. I got down to 120.
Yeah. Damn. But, yeah.
Yeah. Quite the loss. I'm up to like 136 now. So, but, you know, like I said, I've been enjoying just eating whatever the hell I want. Cause I always did like intermittent fasting, and then I cut sugar out almost, you know, not entirely, but as good as you can.
Yeah.
For years, worked out every day. So it's, yeah, it's no fun, but go to the doctor and get tested and checked and all that. You know, I never did that. I didn't have health insurance when it started either. So,
yeah.
Like, luckily, you know, I caught it. very early on, you know, we got it sorted out.
Did you have an inclination, or what was the, can you talk about what the, what, how you found it or how you kind of figured out?
Yeah, I noticed a lump, and, I thought, it's hard to say without giving, it was in my mouth, I guess. So I thought I had burnt the roof of my mouth, basically.
Uh-huh.
And, it didn't go away. So I ended up going to the doctor, and that's when they figured that out. So
yeah
it was a zero fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what was the radiation like? Was there injections or anything, or was it just?
No. I didn't have to do chemo. Luckily, I don't know if I would have got through it if I'd had to do chemo on top of that, but, yeah, it's just, they put I wrote a book about it as well. So there's a book for anybody that's interested in the whole process. And part of the proceeds of that book go towards a nonprofit here in my town that helped me out during it.
Okay.
I'm trying to give back a little bit. But yeah, they put this, so it's called what's the machine called? I did a report on it back in college. Linear accelerator is the machine. And they put this freaky deaky mask on you. I mean, you're pretty much locked down on this table and the thing spins around you. It only takes about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But, you know, it took me a couple weeks before I really started feeling it. And that's when I couldn't eat. I could barely drink. Ended up in the hospital a couple times. I ended up having to do IVs 3 days a week there towards the end.
Yeah.
So I got stuck with needles, and yeah, it was no fun. I lost, like, my sense of taste is mostly back, but that was completely gone. So yeah. Not only could I not eat, but when I did try to eat, I couldn't taste anything. It was like a double whammy. Sores in my mouth. I mean, I asked the doctor kind of towards the end, I said, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how was this treatment as opposed to other treatments? And he was like, oh, this is a 10. He's like, this is the worst one.
Oh,
so
yeah. I mean, 7 weeks every day, you say?
Yeah. And yeah, that was during Christmas time. So December and January, that's what I was doing every single day. Mm-hmm. I think I kept going to work for like 2 weeks. And then just one day I was like, told my boss, I was like, I'm done. I can't be here.
Yeah.
So
how often moving forward, are they checking you? Once a year, twice a year? I mean, how often you've did?
I guess it's like every 6 months for a while, and then it'll go to like once a year.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently this kind does not come back very, very often. So that's good.
Yeah.
There was a lump in my hip as well. And I had surgery. They took that out.
Okay.
But they sent that off and it came back, and they were like, yeah, we don't know what that is. So that's why I'm pretty sure I'm cancer free, but, I think the doctor wants to do surgery again and clean out the area more.
Yeah.
And then I should be good to go. I don't think they're going to do radiation, but they might. And if they do, it won't be as bad as what I went through before. So I'm not really all that worried about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Being crazy. Well, you know, get it out of the way early, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what pretty much they're saying. And I told them, I was like, you guys tell me what to do. You're the doctors. Like, I'll do it. I have insurance now, so it's not going to destroy me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even then, I mean, God, the insurance is such a crazy thing in this country too, though, trying to get anything that's reasonable that covers anything.
Yep.
You know,
that's a whole another podcast. I could go on that. I have very strong feelings about all that now.
I can imagine. Yeah, the whole medical system in general is pretty fucked. You start, especially if you start researching it and finding out, you know, privatized medical system as opposed to state run, and what they can charge, and you know, the way they charge the insurance company, and it's just crazy. I'm glad you're feeling better, man. Feeling back at, you know, I mean, probably slowed down a little bit of creative stuff, but any good creative juice out of it? I mean, you said you wrote a book, but anything else?
Yeah, since I was home, and like I said, I wrote the book on cancer and what I went through and all that, so I would do that. That was basically done by the time I was done with everything, and after I healed up and stuff, like, I had that one done. And then also I wrote a children's book where I touch on that subject as well.
Yeah.
That was the third in a series. That one's Judy and her irrational fears. Her dad gets cancer in the book, and so it touches on it. I don't go too deep with it, but enough where a kid can, I use that as a rational fear,
yeah,
as opposed to being afraid of ghosts and the dark and fish and heights and stuff like that. So that's kind of what that book is about. But, you know, during cancer, I wrote two books, and, you know, I made the best of the time where I was laying here. Just, I downloaded Fortnite.
Yeah.
So I was sitting here doing nothing. It took me, I think it was like my third match before I actually won. So I was like, well, this game's easy.
So, nailed it. Got it down already.
Yeah.
So, well, with the moving back to the comic books and stuff, are you, you've got a couple series lined up. I mean, how many books are you putting out a year now?
I was actually trying to count the other day how many books and stuff I've even made. I think I'm at 20. I think Turkey Sharks 5 will be 27 in 9 years.
Okay.
So whatever that turns out to be. Usually like 2 to 3 comics and then 2 to 3 books usually.
Yeah.
So yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, just the timeline of...
Yeah. Well, and so, yeah. So I publish for other people as well. And we've got Tales of Shock and Terror coming out pretty soon. And then it's not official yet, but I'm about to sign another creative team, and their book will come out probably at the same time as Turkey Sharks 5. Like, I'll order all that together.
Yeah.
Providing that goes through, which it sounds like it's going to. So.
Okay. Not bad. Not bad. Anything else any other projects you're trying to do besides the comic book writing, anything else you're, moving towards, or just trying to keep those things going?
I've got ideas for days. I'm writing a novel right now too. Maybe around halfway through with it. It's called The Bro Code. It's a romantic comedy from the male point of view.
Okay.
Because it's called The Bro Code, which, you know, every man is kind of just sort of familiar with the rules and regulations of dating, when your friends are around and stuff. For instance, you know, if you're going to date an ex of your friend, you better ask them first.
Yep.
Kind of thing, you know, stuff like that. So that's a narrative throughout the entire book on, you know, the rules of dating and all that.
All right. All right. So I got, I'm going to do a, I don't know if we did this last time you were on, but I do a segment we call The Rundown. Did we do that with you last time?
That sounds familiar. I can't remember, but maybe.
Well, it's a series of questions we ask. They're kind of random questions that don't really have any consequence. Good thing is, even if we did this last time, there's a lot of questions, so probably different ones this time. First one I'm going to ask is just because it's been, you know, was in the media for a little bit. It's kind of gone away because our attention span is shit these days. But UFOs were big in the media for a while. Changed them to what are they calling them? UPAs.
They changed the
UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomena. So, first question: do you believe in aliens?
I'm gonna say yes.
Okay.
To an extent.
To an extent. What extent?
I feel like there certainly must be aliens somewhere.
Okay. So you don't think they've been here?
I'm trying to remember who I listened to. I want to say it was like Neil Tyson was talking about this. And I think he said that they might not even be aliens. It might be just like a different dimension type of thing. I'm not smart enough to quite explain how, I think it was him that how he put it, but I think if aliens are coming, if aliens are coming here, then they are just they're going to be so far beyond us,
yeah,
that we almost probably couldn't even comprehend what they are.
Sure. Well, it's like one of these things, like, you know, if you wave your hand over an ant, does an ant know that you're waving, you know? And doesn't
exactly
know you're waving your hand over it.
Yeah.
That type of thing. So, so you don't think we've necessarily had contact with them then?
It's maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. I'm the type of person, I need like definitive proof for about anything.
Sure.
So I'm not convinced that it does or does not. I'm agnostic on the
idea. All right.
Yeah.
Do you think we landed on the moon?
Oh, yeah, we did.
Do you think that video they gave us is real, though?
Yeah, because, I mean, if you think about it, look at this. Even the CGI we had, you know, 10 years ago was, like, not that good. Mm. I actually saw a video the other day. This guy was breaking down the video of the guy driving the little go-kart or whatever the moon. And he broke down the physics of the rooster tail of the dirt coming up and stuff and why it, like, fell at a certain rate and all this. What's that? There's a saying about, like, conspiracy theories, like the bigger the conspiracy theory, the more people will believe it or something like that. But to me, like, how many people have worked for NASA and all that, and nobody, like, literally came out and said, like, yo, this is fake, you know? It would be really hard to keep a secret like that, I feel.
It would, but it depends on the scale of what they did, because, you know, there's some people that speculate that they did put people into a rocket and send them off. And so the number of people that know that it wasn't that they didn't actually go to the moon, is very limited. Because there is some videos that where there's fuckery in it is there's actually videos that they released as them being on the moon that was actually because they did video later in sound stages of them simulating being on the moon. And they released a lot of that as actual footage of them saying they're on the moon. It's like, well, if you're just doing simulation, just say that's a simulation and say this is you on the moon. But when you're trying to pass off this stuff that we know is fake, that we found out is fake as being on the moon, that's when people go, well, then how do we know the stuff that you tell us was the moon is actually? It's that shit where they lie to you enough to where you always think that anything could be a lie, you know?
Yeah, I'm not so much on conspiracy theories in general. Like, I like hearing about them just so I'm aware of them. But, I don't generally buy into very many of them.
So 9/11, not an inside job?
That's one I might be convinced of, honestly. I watched Zeitgeist like everybody else.
Yeah.
There's some fishy stuff, but, you know, maybe it was.
What about the Trump shooting? Inside job?
I don't think so. I think that was just some crazy kid. Because, you know, and people will talk about, oh, he's a Republican, but then he donated to $15 to whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
But I thought of, like, Mark David Chapman, the guy that shot John Lennon, right? Wasn't he, like, a giant Beatles fan?
That's the thing about these things, though. Anyone can say that, you know. Anyone can say anything.
The guy that shot Dimebag Darrell in Columbus was a big Pantera fan, blamed him for breaking up the band or whatever, and that's why he did it.
Oh, interesting.
That's what I've heard, anyway.
Yeah.
Somebody explained it. They were saying, like, because had he succeeded, then he's very much part of Trump then. So that, like, it's almost like he loves him so much that he is now part of him by doing that. I don't know. People are weird, man.
Yeah. I don't know. Anytime the media wants me to believe something, my bullshit radar immediately goes off. Yeah. Cause you know, you've got, like, a kid who's walking around with a rifle. They know he's there. They don't stop him. Somebody saw, they saw him on the roof before. They didn't have people on the roof.
Yeah.
Then they find his phone, but man, we just don't know how to get into this kid's phone. You're like, you're telling me the CIA and the FBI can't get into an 18-year-old kid's iPhone?
The one thing I did think maybe kind of good came out of this is at least both sides agreed. Like, even I didn't watch a lot of it, but some of the clips I saw from Congress interviewing the Secret Service people and all that, Republicans and Democrats both were, like, going after these people. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
you know, they were like, what happened? So I was like, well, at least at least we both agree on something, yeah. You know?
Yeah, at least we both agree that we shouldn't allow presidents or former presidents or people running for president to be assassinated. That is nice that we can come together on that one thing. okay, let's move away from that and go to a desert island book, one book for the rest of your life. What book would it be?
Oh, that's a good question. Man, that's one I'd have to think about. Maybe something like Oliver Twist, Fight Club. I've never actually read Fight Club. I should read Fight Club. It's my favorite movie.
It's a good book. It's not Palahniuk's best book, but it is a good book.
Choke. I like Choke a lot. That was a good one.
That's my favorite Chuck Palahniuk book.
That was a good one. The movie was horrible.
The movie was terrible.
The fantastic book. I've read that one. Collection of Edgar Allan Poe, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. Not bad. What about, you said Fight Club's your favorite movie.
Yeah.
Fight Club's, okay.
Count of Monte Cristo is number two. So.
Count of Monte Cristo, number two movie, huh? What, the old one with and white with, what's his name?
No, I have watched that. I just watched that fairly recently, finally. 2002, the Jim Caviezel one. That's my second favorite movie.
Well, I didn't know that happened. Well, okay.
You never seen that one?
No, I don't think I have.
Oh, it's great. Is directed by Kevin Reynolds, who did Waterworld, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. I think it's Kevin Reynolds. I'm almost positive. It's either him or Chris Columbus. One of the two did that.
Chris Columbus. That's the guy who did Gremlins.
Yeah, and the first couple Harry Potters. I can't remember. I'd have to Google it real quick to see.
Also, side note, how is Gremlins a movie that no one had? I'm surprised Hollywood hasn't remade that yet.
Right.
Or rebooted that somehow.
There was a cartoon. They did a Gremlins cartoon for like Netflix or something not that long ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Any good?
Did you like the Gremlins cartoon?
No.
My kid didn't like it.
Boring.
Right, there it is, from the mouth of babes. Says yep. No.
Yep. Kevin Reynolds is the one who did the 2002 Count of Monte Cristo, and yeah, he did. Which Waterworld and Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves are also two of my, Waterworld has fallen. No, that's three. I can't even remember my top five, but they're up there and they're a few of my favorite movies. And it's just odd that people just happen to have done them.
All right. Let's, how about in a zombie apocalypse? How we're on the cusp of our world collapsing. In a zombie apocalypse, how long do you think you'd survive for?
You know, I think about this. I think a lot of dudes probably specifically think about this. As much as I'd love to say forever, probably not that long, honestly. Yeah, there was an ad or something on TikTok for like a book with all the essential shit in it. And I literally thought, I was like, I should maybe get that book just in case. How to Start a Fire and all that. Yeah. I don't know. I'm wiry. I'm clever. I probably would be okay for a little bit, but I don't know. A month or two, maybe.
That's it. You know, it's not bad. Sure. You know how to shoot a gun?
Yeah, I could if I needed to. Yeah, it's been a while, but yeah.
There you go. See, that's all you need. Get a gun, get some ammo.
Yeah, I'm actually, I'm not big on guns, but I was raised a hillbilly. I grew up in parts of Kentucky and stuff in Tennessee, so I live in Ohio now, so it's, I grew up shooting guns. I was, of my cousins, I think I was always the best shot, so.
There you go. That's good. That's the way to survive in the apocalypse. That and not have a conscience. I feel like that's what you got to... what you need to make it through.
Yeah. So. Yeah, those are my favorite types of movies a lot of times is the post-apocalyptic stuff. I've written a couple things like that too because it's fun to think about that kind of stuff.
Well, like I said, I think we're getting inching closer to that. So it's getting crazier and crazier.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's tell people again, Josh, where they can find you, follow you, and how they can help support the campaign.
Kickstarter.com. Just look up Turkey Sharks 1-5, 1-5. Hopefully it pops up. Hopefully the algorithm doesn't not show it to you. Our prices are extremely fair. It's a super fun, funny comic series. I don't know anybody that's bought it that has not enjoyed it. I get return customers at almost every con I go to now. Get if they miss the Kickstarter, they come back and get all of them. I've had people literally walk up and grab all the variants and stuff and just walk. I didn't even have to sell them on it. So, but yeah, that's the main thing going right now. You know, we're cutthroatcomics.com is the easiest place to find us. TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. So don't much do. I deleted Twitter because it got weird, but, so yeah, it's, you know, that's me. I mostly do mostly on TikTok these days, it seems like. Right. I seem to get the most interactions there, so that's where I focus on.
Yeah, I still haven't been able to do it. I'm too old to begin the training.
I watched YouTube videos to learn how to do it.
Yeah, it just is like, I can't get another app that I have to learn how to, and then also like make videos for, and I'm like, it's just... Yeah. Can't do it. I probably should, but
that's how Matt Rife got big there for a hot minute.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll live without that publicity. All right, well, guys, we're gonna get out of here this week, but definitely go check out Cutthroat Comics. Go support the campaign. You just put in Turkey Sharks Kickstarter, it'll pop right up. At least it did for me anyway when I put it in here. So in Google, I just Googled Turkey Sharks Kickstarter and it pops right up. So yeah, follow on all the social media, donate, get some comic books, and help support some independent comics, man. As for me, guys, go to deescomedy.com, check out everything going on across the network. We've got live shows. Let's see. I will be in the Northwest starting on the 14th this month for about 2 weeks doing shows all over. So check it out. I'll be in Pasco, Renton, Bremerton, Seattle, a bunch of places. So check it out. Get the tickets. They're all available. And that's it, guys. So for the social hour, I have been Deese, and for Josh Nealis and Cutthroat Comics, thank you very much, man. And we will see you guys all next week.